this hymn and how well it just summarizes for us this lesson here about waiting upon you and not blasting off, Lord, in our own direction through our own strength. We pray that you would make that so for all of us, that we would wait. Trust that you would give us the light and the direction that we need. Thank you for my brothers and sisters here. Help us as we journey together, Lord, through this life. Thank you for the comforts of your Holy Spirit, the leadership of your Son, the instruction from your Word. Thank you for your providence. Pray that your grace would be upon us this day, each one. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The theme here is, you know, do we run off on our own and get tired of waiting for God to move? Or do we continue to wait? Sometimes the context is darkness. And I just made a note here that the context of this verse that we're going to look at, that Lori's going to expound upon, is from Isaiah 50. And Isaiah 50 is largely about, it's a prophecy about Christ. And you think about Israel waiting for the Messiah, right? Generation after generation after generation. Sometimes people go through their whole lives. We get tired of waiting in our own life, right? As an individual, imagine generations of people waiting. And so Isaiah 50 is about the coming of the Messiah, and there's this great warning about not lighting your own fires while you're waiting. If you're in darkness, sometimes God has something for us in that darkness. That's kind of the theme here. And so this lighting of your own fires here is really a rebuke. And so if you're all set, we're going to hear it here from Isaiah 50 and verse 11. But actually, verse 10, which she's going to reference here, is probably the more important verse. But anyway, here we go. All you who light fires and provide yourselves with flaming torches, go, walk in the light of your fires. This is what you will receive from my hand. You will lie down in torment. Yikes. That's from God. So now you're waiting for something and nothing's happening. And you say, well, heck with that. Here I go. I'm going to take matters into my own hands. Go ahead. This is what you'll get. You will lie down in torment. Let's be honest, the initial read on this verse is a bit depressing. I think it's more scary than depressing, but it doesn't exactly make you want to post it on your social media outlets to get people excited about their faith. Ironically, it is positioned immediately after one of her favorite verses in the Bible, which says, "Let the one who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord." That is a good promise. You're dark. You don't have positive instruction. You don't have light. Let them trust in the name of the Lord. And again, in the context here of the Messiah coming. You know, it was the Barabbases, right, who took matters into their own hands, right? We're going to kill all the Romans. We're going to create our own freedom. I had never seen the warning that comes after it when I first memorized these encouraging words from verse 10. Wait upon the Lord if you're in the dark. The context of these verses together shows that the encouragement to trust cannot be heard, at least in its fullness, without the warning of what happens if we don't trust. The imagery of verse 11 keeps us holding on to God when we are tempted to give up the weight and find our own way out. When you walk in the light of your fires, you are not waiting for the light of God's fire. You are deciding you can't wait any longer for God's guidance. You're going to guide yourself instead. This verse says that if you do that, you will walk in the light of your fire. You are deciding not to wait for God's light, and the consequences from that point on will be yours to bear. The warning in this verse is the torment we inflict on ourselves when we don't wait for God and attempt to find our own solutions. This verse is our life-saving admonition of the misery that solutions apart from God can ultimately bring. Frankly, striking out on your own can feel a lot better than continuing to sit in the dark. You know, think about Jeremiah, that how much God had him alone and in the dark. At the very least, when you make a move to find your own solution, you feel like you're making strides towards the goal you set. The problem is, when you move out ahead of God's time, as you may have already discovered, you can make things a lot more complicated. There may be immediate satisfaction, but there's often pain down the road. You may feel you are finished waiting in the dark. You know, I'm done, right? But if God still has you there, it is usually for a reason. There may be something happening that you will need once God brings you out of the dark, the same way you went into it. You will miss the gifts that God wanted to give you, and you may discover you need them as time unfolds. All right, I'm going to ask you to bear with her story here, because her story is not bad, but there's one thing about her story that just kind of irks me. Hope for the Flowers is the story of a friendship between two caterpillars. All the caterpillars around them have joined a pile of climbing caterpillars in a quest to reach the sky. Initially, the two of them join the pile, but one gives up because she recognizes the futility. Notice that she is the one. She goes to a tree all by herself, and after a period of time in darkness, she comes out with her wings. When her caterpillar friend sees her, I wonder why this female author here of the book and the female author of our lesson here decided that the woman would be the one who made the right choices. Just. When her caterpillar friend sees her, he's a loser, right? See something that happened to her in her time of darkness that he also needs. The allegory behind this story is similar to the message of Isaiah 50. We grow in the darkness, and when we short circuit or avoid it, we end up missing a part of our development that we need. So I think we can embrace the story without necessarily embracing that women are always right about everything and guys are always wrong. Safe to say. Whether your darkness is extended singleness, a painful marriage, an unsatisfying job, or something else, when you attempt to move out of your situation too soon, you may miss out on what God has for you. It is not that you should resolve to spend your life in darkness, but there may be a season of waiting in the dark that you may need. God works in us while we are waiting for God to work things out around us. When the end of our wait comes, we are equipped for what awaits us there. Not only should we wait for what is happening to us in the dark, we also need to trust the things that are being prepared around us. If we rush the timing to emerge too soon from the darkness, we may miss out on what will eventually be there. Only in retrospect will we understand the timing of all that God has for us when we emerge from the darkness. Now, obviously one of the challenges about an essay like this is we don't know, right? And sometimes God wants us to step out, right? Because she has other chapters in this same book, which are, you have to jump out in faith, and you won't see God's blessing until you do that. So these are kind of subjective things, which are kind of things that I don't particularly like about books like this. But certainly there's something to say here, because I think if we are being led by the Spirit, we know when we're lighting our own fires and when we're not. What we believe about the dark, am I in the right place? I think so, right? Okay. What we believe about the dark often paves the way for our decisions in the dark. That's a good line. If we believe nothing is happening, we may be moved to make things happen because we feel like God doesn't care. By the way, that's good over there. It's not 600D. That's what all the students, they would write an essay and I would write good on the side. They say, what does that 600D mean? We might feel neglected in our pain or fear and feel that God has abandoned us, but God holds every moment of our darkness in his heart. And these verses assure us that he is with us there. You may feel at times that you cannot wait any longer. Anybody ever feel that way? In one of my own seasons of darkness, I came close to abandoning the wait and striking out on my own. But choosing to believe God was working in the darkness made the difference in how I lived it. That God is actually working in the darkness. And what God was doing was woven together in perfect timing, which I could have easily imagined was too late. The longing we may feel during our time in the darkness makes the joy that much sweeter when God leads us out. That is a mysterious gift that Isaiah 50:11 warns us not to miss. Don't light your own fire. So here's our questions. Are there any areas of your life where you are lighting your own fires? I think you all know what we mean by that by now. In light of this verse, what actions can you take to remedy this? 2, looking back on seasons of darkness in your life, how did God's work in you in those seasons? How did he work around you to disposition you for what happened next? And then 3, how do you balance moving forward with waiting on God? What helps you discern what you should do? And the little tidbit here, and this is the way Karen lives her life, and she always reminds me of this here, is to do what's in front of you. That's really pretty good advice. Because if you're there and it's right in front of you, God put you there and God put that thing there. And so do what's in front of you. Do today what God wants you to do today. Or one day at a time. Yeah. Okay. So, I can understand and appreciate if some of you are frustrated about this essay because, like I say, there are other essays even in the same book that say, hey, nothing good's going to happen until you step out. Right? And then here you got this idea that, well, the moment you step out and light your own fires, nothing good is going to happen there either. So these are difficult things. But anyone want to comment on Lori's essay to us here about lighting our own fires? Thank you. Terry.
I think the difference between those two different things, you have to step out of faith or you can't light your own fires, is what you're talking about, whether there's like a scriptural command or a command from God in that. So like, With Abraham, let's say.
Ah.
There was a promise that the seed would come from Sarah.
Yeah.
So the command was wait.
Yeah.
Don't do anything else.
Yeah.
It's going to come from Sarah.
Now, of course, he did with Hagar and Ishmael, and so, yeah.
So but then he kind of lived his own
Yep, yep, yep.
Whereas, like, in our day, you know, any one of us doesn't have a command like, you know, just wait for me, I'm going to find you the right person, or something like that.
Yeah.
Our command, or it's not even a command, but it's, you know, be fruitful and multiply, or like, go find something.
Yep.
So we have to step out if we're single and, you know, looking for somebody, because we don't have a command to wait. Whereas the same type of a thing, Abraham had a command to wait, so he has to wait on God.
Right. Good. That's helpful. I appreciate that. Yeah, Gary.
I think there's one thing missing in her studies, and you brought it up about her in the beginning or other essays, that her step out.
Mm-hmm.
And this one says step in, step away. I think what is missing in some of her stuff is discernment. I think we need discernment, mm-hmm. and God gives us that.
Mm-hmm.
What to do?
Mm-hmm.
We're not robots. We just don't wait and see what happens. And all let's go to this.
Right. Right.
Big part of it.
Right. If I could elaborate again on the little tidbit that I put in there about do what's in front of you. I tend to think of waiting as non-productive time, right? And so I tend to do nothing. And that's not right, because there's plenty that God has given for us to do. And do what's in front of you means let's make good use of this time that we're waiting. Yeah, you know, I've looked for this, but I haven't looked hard enough. Do you have any idea how long Job's torment was?
I would roughly guess it was probably a couple of years, at least.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. And I don't think it's explicit in the scripture, but I'm sure there are people who have. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anybody else on these matters?
I'm going with your little tidbit there. I just read a quote recently about we should not look dimly into the future, but clearly what's in front of us.
Clearly to the present.
Have exact words, but it was basically, you know, stop. You can't predict the future. Stop looking there, cloudy.
Yep.
See what's right in front of you and do that.
Right. Cloudy or sunshine, right? Right. You can't see that, right? But you know what you have today? More humidity. You know, and this whole idea of, you know, I think in hindsight, right? We all understand that there was this season in my life, then there was that season in my life. But, you know, sometimes seasons are really a lot longer than what we think a typical season should be, right? And so it's always hard to define what a season is. I mean, if you're a Yankee fan, you know that's 162 games, and then it's just over with, right? And if you're a Jet fan, you always have the reminder, J-E-T-S, right? Just end the season, because it's been misery for them. Yes.
I just reading this is, you know, it's easy to read, but the hard part is trying to figure out.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you figure it out? How do you wait? How do you?
Right.
I'm not very good at waiting. And maybe that goes along with personality or what I did for most of my life. But, you know.
But hold it. Don't put yourself down. I mean, you grow flowers. No, really. I mean, you talk about waiting.
Yeah.
And you know what? that is the definition of patience there, Norma. I want you to remember that, right? So it's like, if I was a flower growing, you know, I would plant the thing and be, you know, the next day, what's wrong with you? Right? Yeah, and then see, here's the other thing that's absent here. There's a whole bunch of things is outside influences will say, I need your answer by Monday morning. And so at that point, you need to go in one direction or another.
Yes.
Yeah.
I hate to admit it, but I think Terry was on to something.
Yeah, no. this is the thing. We all know that Terry was on. Michael only thinks he was on to something.
In the story of Job, God is manipulating his life down into darkness. Mm-hmm. And he has his friends that stay with him for, it says, a week. And they don't say anything. They just sort of are with him in his misery.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start to press him, saying, this is your fault. Mm-hmm. You've done something wrong, and you need to admit it. And he was adamant that he hadn't done anything wrong, that these kind of things should befall him. And that's a kind of dark place where you can't leave. I really believe that I didn't bring this pain and agony on myself. I can't leave. Then you've got the story of David, who goes and sleeps with Bathsheba, kills her husband, and then for 10 months does nothing. Doesn't go to church. He doesn't seek the Lord. He's just hiding. He had a command. He should have gone and repented. Mm-hmm. He should have stepped out of that place of darkness and done what the scriptures tell him. But instead, he stayed there until finally God rescued him. Thank God for that.
Mm-hmm.
But there are these times where it seems really dark to us. And they're dark because we created that darkness. And if that's true, then you need to figure out how to get out of that darkness. Do what the scriptures tell you in order to move on. Mm-hmm. But if that situation isn't out of your hands, it's not something that you created, then you just have to walk through it, trusting that God will take you out the other side. Because there's no clear plan.
Right. Yep. Anybody else?
How would you agree with people say, well, the only way to move out in faith is you go to that door, and if the door opens, you go through it. If the door's closed, you go somewhere else. I mean, that sounds like it's pretty easy, but how do you know the door's open by God?
Yeah, I mean, all of these things are faith. I mean, Terry preached on the widow, right? And, you know, No, but she just kept, you know.
Some people think if the door opens, it's God, so just keep going until the door's closed.
Right.
But how do you
right.
know that's the right door?
Right. Difficult things. Any other thoughts? I think a lot about the persistent widow. I think that's. Powerful passage. There is, you know, a lot in the evangelical community which says, let's just bust these doors down, right? Let's just light our own fires. And so I think, you know, I think this is, you know, and it is most likely that the major audience for this here is those type of folks that somebody, and she's doing a good service to the church by saying, hey, maybe you guys should put the brakes on here a little bit and wait upon the Lord. I think that could be said. Yeah, Teresita. Yeah.
She's had many things in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
And then this last whole year in a bed. And I kept asking her, and she kept saying things. And she kept saying, I'm waiting on God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's going to stay there. And I'm waiting on that. But she's not trying to get up at all.
Yeah. 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 And so I think that, I mean, if you're asking me what you should do, I think that you should pray that God that God should motivate her, that he would motivate her to one day wake up and say, you know what, I'm getting up out of this bed by the grace of God. And for her to really believe that God wants her to do that, you know.
She really believes that she can stay there and she's praying all the time, talking to God all the time.
Yeah.
She did not want to talk to anyone because she thought that's something I wanted her to do, just if it was between her and God.
Hmm. Yeah. Very challenging. Because God has given us to be his hands, his feet, his voice. Challenging. And then, you know, on top of that, you have, you know, the older I get, the more you come to a point where you say, gee, you want certain things to happen. And then so much time goes by. And particularly when you're really elderly, it's like, it's almost too late in your personal life cycle for those things to be even viewed as positive things anymore. Right. So if you always had this dream that, you know, there comes a time in our life, for example, that we should recognize that we're not going to be the shortstop for the New York Yankees, right? We give that up, okay? If you're 80 years old, it's just not likely to happen, right? But there are other, so the point is we grow and we change, and those dreams we have to say goodbye to them. And the older you get, the more I think you're open to that, that those things aren't going to happen. She's well into her 80s, right?
75.
75, okay.
I have to throw this out, too. I'm sorry if I'm talking too much, but when I think about lighting your own fire, the first thing that comes to my mind is, their names just went out of my head, the two priests. Decided they were going to set fire to the altar themselves.
Yeah, Nabat and Abihu. Yeah.
And they Abihu. Immediately mm-hmm. suffered the consequences
right.
of their stupidity.
Right.
Right. Their sinful stupidity.
Yeah.
And I lived my life early on, for a long time, going to churches that in my estimation now,
mm-hmm.
we're lighting their own fires. Mm-hmm. You can go to Light Church this morning, and they will have music that will blow the walls out.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are trying in themselves to light the particular fire.
Right.
And it fizzles.
Right.
It lasts only for the minutes you're there.
Mm-hmm.
But the true fire, that lasts forever. And sometimes the true fire is nothing more than a candle.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I lived through all that. I've done it all. And I came away with just an empty smell of smoke in my nostrils. that did nothing for me. And then God opened up grace and truth and his way of worship, which isn't the same.
Right.
And it now has a fire in my heart that it actually lasts all week long, not just till Saturday evening, or I mean Sunday evening. And so I see these churches around me, and I've gone to them, and they have these huge, huge Sunday services that are filled with their own choir.
Yes.
And it's useless. They are blind. Now, that doesn't mean we're doing everything perfect, right? We're not perfect.
Of course not, right. But
at least we have an idea that what we want to do is what God wants to do, not what we want to do.
Thankfully, God is very gracious, because even Abraham, when he did strike out on his own, right, and decide, I've had enough of this, and, you know, his wife is helping him along by saying, hey, you know, there's Hagar, you know, and they have Ishmael, at least God still, he doesn't give up on Abraham, right? So if you make a mistake and you light your own fire, yeah, there are consequences there, and you deal with them, but God is gracious. He doesn't abandon his own. Praise be. Because we've all lit our own fires to one degree or another. I'm going to close in prayer. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your grace to us. Lord, thank you for these verses in your word, and especially for verse 10, that, Lord, for those that sit in darkness, we pray, Lord God, that you would help us to wait upon the Lord. Thank you for this hymn. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed. Lord, make it so for us. Help us to wait upon you. And give us, Lord God, the spark of your fire to know when it's time to get up and to step out and bring about the direction that you have for us. Help us, Lord, with discernment and for all the other aspects of this, Lord, that we have discussed, not the least of which, Lord God, is your word. Help us to be pouring through the scripture. And we ask you to speak to us through the scripture. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.